Hey guys, what's going on? It's Carter, and in this episode of the Unnamed Podcast, I have not figured out a name for this yet. Maybe you can help me come up with a good name. I've thought of, you know, the Pizza Salad Podcast or something funny that I've done from Instagram, but still unknown. So maybe you can help me out and send me an email or a message and help me figure out a good name. But regardless, I want to get this up, and I want to talk about a question I've been getting asked frequently. I would say 15 to 20 times a day I get asked about this, and it's the ketogenic diet, both if it's healthy, if it's good for fat loss, if it's sustainable, if it's yada, 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 right? All these different questions about the ketogenic diet. And so in this quick podcast, I just want to cover my view of it and why I think that for most people, the ketogenic diet is probably not the best idea for building a lifelong successful fitness plan. So before we get too far into this, I want to make sure that you understand where I'm coming from. Whenever most people are asking me about a ketogenic diet, it's strictly for fat loss and maintaining a healthy body weight. Now, there is a lot of research supporting a ketogenic diet for a number of different things. For example, people with epilepsy have been shown to have significant improvements when they follow a ketogenic diet. Some people who have serious autoimmune disorders and issues have been shown to, you know, see improved results from following a ketogenic diet whenever they're eliminating a lot of those foods that tend to be causing their body harm. And so when we're looking at it from a health perspective, my opinions aren't as strong, mostly because at that stage of the game, you know, you're willing to do anything to get better results or get more relief from the things that you're struggling with, right? Because for whatever reason, the foods that you're eating aren't agreeing with your body. And so at that point, you know, you would do anything to feel better, right? What I'm talking about in this podcast is strictly fat loss, strictly losing body fat, building muscle, and just maintaining a healthy body. And the reality is that a ketogenic diet is not necessarily at all for achieving a healthy, lean body. And the reason is simple. When it comes to losing fat, the most important component is calories. Hands down, no question, right? No matter what diet you're following, be it a ketogenic diet, a vegan diet, Weight Watchers, anything like that, regardless of what strategies you're using, you have to somehow create a scenario where you're consuming fewer calories than your body's burning. So now knowing that we need to create a calorie deficit to lose weight, that's when you can start to think about how you're going about creating that deficit. And it's really where I think the ketogenic diet becomes an issue. And it's a simple fact that for most people who have kids, relationships, work, different social events, whatever, you know, eliminating basically all carbs from your diet just to create a calorie deficit, it just isn't going to be realistic. Just think about it. You know, we live in a society where food is used for more than just fuel, right? You can argue back and forth that, oh, we should just be eating food because it fuels our body and whatever, right? Sure, whatever, right? But that's not the reality that we live in. Food is a huge part of our culture, in every culture, no matter where you're at in the world, right? It's what we use to celebrate birthdays, to celebrate, you know, we use it whenever we're mourning like the death of loved ones, right? Like funerals and stuff. It's what we use when we're having fun, when we're bored, when we're on dates. It's how we show love, right? It's how we receive love. It's a huge part of our lives. And unfortunately, I would honestly say fortunately, because I love carbs, but a lot of times the foods that you're going to be eating in social situations are going to be carb heavy, right? And that's just the way it is. And so with a ketogenic diet, you sort of just have to accept the fact that you're either going to be constantly jumping in and out of ketosis, which is one of the main mechanisms of a ketogenic diet. And that's basically when your body is no longer using carbs as fuel, but rather, fat. And so, you know, you'll have to be jumping in and out of that if you're going to be constantly going out to do all these things, which would, you know, obviously render a ketogenic diet useless at that point. Or you have to be that person who's going to these things and not eating, not, you know, doing things with others or bringing your own keto snacks or whatever, right? And I'm not saying that's not an option. You can absolutely do that. And I think that if you're happy with doing that and you're not worried about other people looking at you funny or you don't really care, first off, kudos for you, right, for not caring. But if you enjoy doing that, go for it, right? I just think that for the majority of people, that's just not going to work, right? And eventually it's going to break. Maybe it's after a few weeks, maybe it's after a few months, but eventually something's going to happen and they're not going to be able to stick with that. And really, when it comes to losing fat, you know, obviously the whole weight loss, fat loss portion of it is important, but regardless of how long it's going to take you to lose the weight or the fat that you want to lose, you're going to spend a much more significant time actually maintaining that, right? And so it would make sense to ensure that the strategies that you're losing or the strategies that you're using to lose that weight are strategies that are going to help you build habits and strategies that last for the rest of your life too. And this brings us to the last segment of this podcast, which is my advice to you, right? Some actionable steps that you can take moving forward, given the information that I've already presented to you, and now using that to build a plan moving forward. And so really my advice is very simple, and it's always very similar. And I think that for the majority of people, the best first step is to start tracking your nutrition. Now, the reason I'm a huge fan of tracking, be it, you know, your calories, your macronutrients, or just keeping a food log and not even worrying about hitting specific calorie or macro targets at the start, is simply the fact that it's going to help you become aware of your eating. Because oftentimes, the issue that people are having with their diet are small nuances in their day-to-day eating habits, right? Whether it's overeating at night, it's overeating food in general, like maybe they're eating a nutritious diet, but they're just eating too many calories. Maybe they're eating lots of foods that are not very nutrient dense and not very filling, and that's leading them to eat too many calories, right? Even though the amounts of food they're eating doesn't seem like a lot, the calorie amount is a lot, right? And so everyone's going to have a bit of a different issue, but I think that if you are tracking your nutrition, that's what's going to create an awareness around it. And then at that point, I truly believe that the simpler you can make it, the better. And you know, most people who I work with, and even myself, you know, we focus on total calories and setting a range, right? So tracking your nutrition and aiming for like a range of calories, you know, trying to get a range of protein as well, just because eating more protein has been shown to both benefit fat loss and help with muscle growth. So there's a reason for doing that. And then really the rest of it is just focusing on eating a balanced diet of mostly whole foods. The rule I like to give is an 80-20 rule, where 80% of your nutrition should come from whole micronutrient dense foods like fruits, vegetables, lean meats, nuts, seeds, whole grains, those types of things. And then if you do that, then you can get away with 20% coming from less nutritious foods like chocolate, ice cream. And it's not that those foods are necessarily unhealthy, it's just that when they're compared to fruits and vegetables, one, they're not going to be as filling, right? They're going to have more calories for less food. And they're also just not going to have as many vitamins and minerals. And so as long as you make most of your diet come from nutritious, you know, micronutrient dense foods, you can get away with having some, you know, quote unquote fun foods in moderation. Now, to get started with this, I highly recommend you check out my article. I'm going to link it. And however I can link it in this article, in this podcast, I'm not sure yet. I'm just kind of doing this by the seat of my pants. But basically, you would go to my website, cartergood.com, and then you would search for an article, Calorie Needs for Weight Loss. And if there's a link that I can provide you in this podcast, I'm going to give you that. But if not, that's the URL to follow. So thank you for listening to the first episode of this still unnamed podcast. If you enjoyed this, please, you know, leave a review or let me know through an email or whatever. And if you do have suggestions for topics that you'd like me to talk about or different shows or segments that you think would be helpful, you know, just let me know, right? Because I love your feedback, and I love engaging with anyone who's listening and following me. You guys give me the best ideas, and it gives me insight into what you really need help with too. And so, yeah, I will see you guys in the next episode, and thank you for listening.